Hey everyone, this is Christopher from Movies Are Back. What you're about to listen to is a little bonus for our dear listeners out there, people who, you know, care about us talking about the Bob Dylan movie for about 20 minutes or so. This was supposed to be part of our return episode, the one all about the Oscars nominations, but it didn't really work because we talked for like 40, 50 minutes just about Oscar nominations. We went through category by category. It's a great episode. I'm really proud of it. But yeah, by the time we got to the review section, we were actually kind of both starting to lose some energy here. It's still a good review anyway, but yeah, just I felt like it didn't really fit with everything else that we were already talking about. I feel like doing it as a nice little separate thing really lets the review play out as best as possible. So do enjoy this. Stay tuned for most likely next week episode, or we might end up taking another week after this. We're very busy people, but bear with us on that one. Some amazing things are coming for this new year. So enjoy. All right, the thing for this week is nothing. There's no real big thing. We saw different things. We saw
a complete unknown.
Well, actually, yeah, the thing is now merging with Channel Surfing for this week only.
Yes.
Surprise, exclusive.
Yep.
Because it's the thing that came out. It's the thing we both watched. We've seen a complete unknown.
Yeah, we independently just saw it by ourselves. Yes. Like, we didn't really talk about it before.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I'm a Dylan head, and I have been since I was 15.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I liked all his different phases, and I saw I'm Not There when it kind of came out, or a year or two later.
The Todd Haynes movie.
Yeah. When I was like 16, that was the peak of my interest in Bob Dylan.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, wow, what like an original idea to like do a Bob Dylan movie like this, where it's sort of like six different characters, six different actors who are playing like these aspects of Bob Dylan as he exists in the public consciousness.
Yep. Yeah.
Because his kind of thing is that he's very, it's a persona. Like David Bowie, Bob Dylan is a persona he puts on.
Yeah.
No one knows too much about him.
Bowie's a bit more explicit in terms of, this is my persona now. His name is the Thin White Duke.
Exactly. Yeah, Bob Dylan is more just like mercurial, but on purpose.
Yeah,
he knows what he's doing.
Yeah, still, definitely.
So I thought I'm Not There was like the best kind of way to do that.
Mm-hmm. I haven't seen that movie.
Yeah, it's worth a watch. But so this way, in a complete unknown, it's a specific time in his life. It's like his rise.
Yes.
It
starts in 1961, ends in 1965. So it's a very small period.
Yeah, and I guess the sort of main source of tension is that he's this very talented folk singer, and he goes electric.
Yes. You know, the book was called Dylan Goes Electric. Like that's one of the main things I think people know about Bob Dylan is like, oh, he was a folk singer, and then he went electric, and then did a bunch of stuff later. Like
they covered the most well-known.
Yeah.
And you know, there's a bit halfway through the movie when he bustles into frame with his pea coat and glasses and messy hair.
Yeah.
And it's almost like the superhero has his costume on.
Yeah.
Like that's the Bob Dylan character.
It's even
that got, everyone knows.
It's even got like a sort of MCU style cameo with Johnny Cash, like the way that he enters.
Yeah, the way
like,
he comes
oh
in.
Oh my
and
god.
Out.
Yeah. It's the guy from the other movie. What?
Yeah, for sure, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I thought the movie was just all right.
Okay. I think I liked it a little bit more than you.
Yeah, I think you did. I didn't hate it at all. I thought the performances were quite good.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought they're covering an interesting period of his life. But I think what I would really like, just for me, to see in a Bob Dylan movie is actually to see kind of maybe his creative process in like coming up with these lyrics.
You got a little bit of that. Like I liked how they showed this bit where he runs into his apartment, like just singing, like he's got the lyric. He's like, quick. And he get it out like onto the guitar in that way.
But he's known for, like, his exceptional lyrics, like his writing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, he's like a poet.
You see him writing that sort of stuff.
You see it, but I want to feel like I'm experiencing the world as he does and filtering it into these beautiful poems.
Yep, okay.
I wanted to see that kind of filmmaking.
Okay.
I want to be in his shoes where, like, that he's absorbing the world and the culture and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But in this movie, it's very focused on his personal relationships.
Which I think I liked still. Like, I don't know if...
It was fine, but
yeah,
it wasn't my preference.
Okay, no, fair enough.
And I thought his relationship with Elle Fanning, it felt like I got the point, but it felt just one-dimensional a little bit.
I would, yeah, I, I, I can't really deny that one. Yeah. I would say that
they didn't even seem to have any happiness together. I didn't understand. The Joan Baez one, that was kind of interesting.
Yeah, because they kind of go back and forth, and it's sort of...
It's like a creative partnership, and it's sort of a romance.
Yeah, that's a very tumultuous sort of...
Yeah.
Like you see with a lot of celebrity romances that they go back and forth, and they use each other in some particular way to achieve certain things with their careers.
There was fun friction there.
Yeah. I think because James Mangold, he directed this movie. He also directed Walk the Line. And yeah. I was talking to you that... Walk the Line is fine. Maybe I think... I
haven't seen it for a long time.
I think Johnny Cash fans don't love that movie because they also find issues with how it depicts certain things in his life and certain moments, certain ways that they do certain songs. I think a lot of people are very critical still of Joaquin Phoenix's singing, that it's not as accurate to Cash himself. I think that Boyd Holbrook, who plays Johnny Cash in this movie, I think he does a better job.
He looked... a lot like Johnny Cash.
It was weird.
It's so... The makeup job on him was amazing.
Yeah, they gave him... Because Boyd Holbrook is blonde with blue eyes. And they gave him black hair with brown contacts. And I went, whoa,
I feel like they did something to his face as well.
Yeah, because they gave Timothy Chalamet a prosthetic nose.
Yeah.
Much more pronounced.
Bob Dylan nose.
Yeah, because Timothy's nose is very... It's very European. It's very, very small.
Yeah.
It's very, very narrow. Like, because he's French, I think...
Yeah,
I don't
want
to get into like, he's got a European nose. I don't know shit about that, but... They gave him more of a Bob Dylan nose, yeah. And I think because Mangold had already done Walk the Line, because he had made that movie kind of a bit more conventional for a biopic, it tells the story of Johnny Cash from when he was a child and growing up and then losing his... I think he lost his brother at an early age and that sort of affected him. And then he started singing in little places and then he gets bigger and bigger. And then, oh no, the drugs come in and he has a relationship with June and all of that. And then it ends with him... getting clean and living a good life for the rest of his life. And that's nice. But that's boring to me. Honestly, I don't find that interesting.
It's conventional.
Yeah, it's nice enough. So I think this one doesn't do that. The fact that it's so particularly focused on 4 years of Bob Dylan's life.
Yeah.
Sort of the more...
And he sort of drifts coolly into the frame.
Yeah.
There's no like, well, here's his childhood or anything like that.
His first appearance is just... him hitchhiking.
He's basically a vagabond,
yeah, and then he just exits out and then there he is, he's here.
But I think I know what you're saying, but maybe this was true of him in real life, but I don't find it satisfying narratively that he was just exceptionally gifted but he didn't really understand that gift and he didn't care for the effects of it.
Well, yeah, I mean the movie ends I can't really spoil because it's history, I guess, but it says at the end that he's the only songwriter to be nominated, to be awarded the Nobel Prize in Literature, and then it says he did not attend the ceremony.
That's a misleading thing because he accepted that award in Sweden. He literally couldn't be there for it, but it was sort of reorganized so he did accept that award.
Right.
So the movie is trying to like... give him this like rebellious sheen, which is partly true.
Which is partly true, yeah. I think yeah. So I would say that I can kind of distance myself in a certain way. I'm not as much of a Dylan fan. I know some things about him. I know sort of like the bigger moments of him as an artist. I think I know more about him when he was doing like the Traveling Wilburys than I do from like his 60s years. But I still know certain songs when they come up, like. I feel affected. Like, I think I felt very affected by the Newport Folk Festival 1964. He plays The Times Are Changing for the first time.
That was a great scene.
That's amazing. That really got... And I love how Mangold, when he shoots the musical sequences, he really lets them play out.
Yeah.
He doesn't cut around them. He doesn't go for the sort of very cheap sort of montage feel. If it's a musical sequence at a concert venue or something like that, he'll sit there. And he'll sit on a close-up of Timothy Chalamet's face or Monica Barbaro, and he'll really just
let you... And they do the whole song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it'll be, it gets to the point where he plays at the 65 Folk Festival, Goes Electric, and they play all three songs that he played in full. They don't cut around it. I mean, still they have cross-cutting for other things that are happening, but they let that play out to really make you a part of that audience in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So I think that kind of immersion I really like. I love James Mangold as a director. I think
he's a good director.
He's good because he never shows off. You know, there's shots in this movie that get across simple emotions, simple feelings with you know, how he's playing or how he's feeling or something like that. But it doesn't go into like crazy transitions. There's no, you know, insane long takes or whatever. It's very simple. It's very classical, you know, good filmmaking in a lot of ways. And he's done that for years now. You watch like Ford v Ferrari and it's got great shots or whatever, but it never goes so crazy. It's just always very simple.
Yeah.
Get the information in frame.
I agree. Moving. Like, I think thinking about it now, my problem with the movie is that back to being a Dylan fan, like it's so captured and enriched my imagination a long time ago.
Okay.
And now to see my kind of hero like this as a guy with these negative qualities and mundane qualities, that's not really too unlike me at my worst.
Yeah.
It's disappointing.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's really what it is. It's not... Like, I don't think the movie should have been made.
All right.
But not that it's bad. No. It's just, for me, that I idolize this guy, and to see him like this as kind of just this prick. Like...
You find that too challenging, though.
Yeah, it wasn't challenging, because obviously he's human and stuff. But it just felt disappointing and a little depressing for me.
Okay.
I think it's just a very personal thing. Because I was thinking, I didn't really like it, but there was nothing really wrong with it. Like,
no.
It wasn't a bad... It was actually pretty well made. It was very well made.
It's very well made, yeah.
And there's great acting in it, and the musical sequences are well done. I think it's just that specific feeling to me just didn't make it a fun viewing.
Oh, fair enough.
Yeah.
I would say I could imagine the same is true for people who love Robbie Williams and they go watch Better Man.
Yeah.
Because if you're a big Robbie Williams fan, you might get a lot out of that movie that's really, you know, truly like makes you realize why you love this person. But that movie also gets very, very, very dark. And if you're not as aware of that, if you just like him for his music, that might be too confronting. That one deals with self-harm topics and mental health issues that Robbie Williams has dealt with.
Yeah.
So I can see that same sort of effect where you watch and you go, oh, I didn't think it was going to go there. I don't think I really like... And it's okay. I think it's okay to have that reaction.
Yeah, sure.
To see that and go...
I was just trying to work out why... Because sometimes you see a movie and you're like, everything about it was fine and good, like, but why didn't I really like it? That can be sometimes complicated.
At this point, I think I feel like that with The Substance. I want to go back to that one, though.
Yeah.
Just because of all of its nominations now, I think,
you
know, I could see something more in it.
Mm-hmm.
I have bad vibes. I said about on a previous episode, I just had bad vibes when I watched that movie because three people already left midway through and the other person who was left was just muttering how much he hated it. I'm like, oh, this is great. Cool. I didn't know if I really liked the movie at that point, which it sucks. I think that can affect things. A lot of things can affect you when you go into a movie, just in general, like, previous experience or people you're around.
I think it's just because I've read Dylan's autobiography, like I've read his writing, I listen to his songs. So I've got this image of how he makes me feel and what I think of. And then just to see like kind of a mundane fuckboy.
Yeah.
It's just disappointing.
Yeah.
But I think, you know...
It might be accurate.
It's kind of a demystifying movie, maybe.
Yeah, in a lot of ways. Yeah. I will be very... I'm thinking of something that I'm as taken with, sort of inspired by.
Yeah.
I would say it's George Harrison. Mm-hmm. And I know that Sam Mendes is going to be making four simultaneous biopics about all four members of the Beatles.
Wow.
Which, okay.
That's a... Impressive.
Insane. And I'm very much in for whatever the hell that's going to be, because that is ambitious as hell. But also, I'm going to be looking at it with laser focus at the George Harrison movie, because he's my guy. Like, I've loved him for as long, you know, ever since I've been an adult, really. Like, ever since I hit puberty, I started listening to his albums, and they've affected me so much. I love his character. I've watched the Scorsese documentary on him like three or four times over. I don't have a book on him, but I would 100% read one if I could. So that one, I'm going to go in with the same sort of thing of like, all right, you got a lot to live up for this guy. And if they... I'm fine with demystifying him, but if they don't get him right, his energy, who he was, if they just see him as, oh, he was just the quiet Beatle. It's like, no. He was way more than that. He was goofy and he was weird. Like, he was a very strange person who would garden until like 2 a.m. or something like that.
Yeah.
So if the movie doesn't get that right, I'm going to be very critical of that one. So I'm on the same level there of like, you got to get it right for me, honestly. But I don't know.
I think, yeah, it's just me. I mean, okay. I wouldn't begrudge anyone if they really liked it.
I don't think you're in the minority.
Really?
The movie's gotten good reviews, but there's been some pretty mixed responses from some diehard Bob Dylan fans.
Yeah.
Where they've said that some of the like historical inaccuracies or just even, yeah, some of the characterizations were left a little lacking, that it kind of paints more of a portrait of time rather than a totally moving experience with the characters. It just says, let's just sit here, you know, let's kind of jam with whatever's going on at the times, man. Like, that's kind of what the movie is, which I didn't have a problem with, but it doesn't have that moment where someone has a big burst where they have a sort of, where they say to him, you know, you're going to affect the world and your song's going to do this. It just doesn't do that.
But I didn't want that either.
No, I wouldn't want that either. Yeah. But it doesn't get to that point.
Yeah, because
I'm a big movie.
Yeah, I can't even really express what I would want out of a Bob Dylan biopic.
Yeah.
All I know is not really this.
Yeah.
Okay. Which is kind of weird to say.
And I think if you're more of an I'm Not Here fan. I'm not there, sorry.
And I'm not saying that movie's actually really that great, but no. I love the idea of it.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I think there is definitely some arguments to say that that one might be more accurate for some people. But also, it's Bob Dylan. He's a very varied sort of person, so I think it's okay to say that that's your preference this is your preference.
It might just be that he's just better experienced through his music.
Probably.
Maybe his life is not that worthy of being put on
we
film.
We don't need to make a movie about every single person.
I mean, think about it. He's the most, one of the biggest icons of the 20th century.
Mm-hmm.
There hasn't been a picture about him.
No.
Until now.
Until now, yeah.
And I think it's kind of because it's like, well, I think...
How do you do it?
His life kind of pales in comparison to his work.
Yeah. And I said this to you before, I don't think they could ever... They tried once, and it sucked. They could never make a David Bowie movie. They tried.
Yeah.
And it was about him before he ever made his first album.
I mean,
and they couldn't get the rights to his music, so he just sung covers the entire time.
Pointless.
And it was a crap film. The only thing that they've made that's even close to him was the documentary Moon Age Daydream, because that was what his music was like. It was this sort of kaleidoscope of colors and sounds and emotions where it flits between past and present. That's what his music has always felt like.
Yeah.
So that's the most accurate version we'll ever get. If they ever try another movie, I'm sorry, you just can't. I don't think you can truly capture
him
in that way.
These musicians,
that's my preference.
Yeah, these musicians, their lives are all the same.
Yeah.
They go on tour. They do a lot of drugs. Yeah. They have a bunch of girlfriends. They have career highs, career lows. It's mundane.
To that point, I would say that we'll kind of wrap this up, this segment up with, I always say this every time we talk about music biopics, people say, you know, what's out there? You know, is there a good one? Yes. You've seen Love and Mercy?
No.
That's the Brian Wilson biopic. Paul Dano plays Brian Wilson when he's young, when he's part of the Beach Boys.
Yep.
And he's making Pet Sounds, which was the most iconic album that the Beach Boys ever made and probably one of the most influential albums in the history of music.
Yep.
And which was not very well regarded at the time. And how he makes that and how he's using like session musicians. And there's whole sequences of that film where it's just him in the studio talking with the musicians about key changes and why they should be playing this one note with four different instruments or something like that. So it really gets into the nitty-gritty of how this guy made this music, where he's like recording campfires and everyone's wearing fireman's hats and he's got little, you know, kazoos or whatever. It's just crazy. And then it also cuts to when he was much older and was drug-addled and out of his mind being abused by a psychiatrist, and he's played by John Cusack in that that part. Great film, and the way that it does that is so accurate to the person, but it also doesn't fit so much into the biopic formula.
Yeah,
it
that shows sounds you, like a good...
It shows you more of, this is what he became, this is what he was, how does it compare? It's two different characters, two different actors, but the way that they compare is very fascinating. I've always loved that film, and I still highly, highly recommend that one.
Yeah, nice. I'll check that out.
So I still enjoyed A Complete Unknown probably more than you, but that's because I came to it being like, I don't know, man. Like, I'm just going into it kind of blind
in
a lot of ways, which I think you could probably benefit from that
one. It's probably more for people who are kind of curious about Dylan but don't know anything about him.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I think it's perfectly good watch.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah.
So that kind of covers channel surfing. I think we might wrap it up there. Right, so that was our review of James Mangold's A Complete Unknown. Hope you enjoy it. Thanks for bearing with some, you know, technical issues and having this be a separate review from the main podcast. I feel like this was the best decision to kind of let our thoughts breathe in two separate episodes here. You can find us, Movies Are Back Podcast. Email us, moviesareback podcast@gmail.com. That's moviesarebackpodcast@gmail.com. I want to get some emails in because that'd be really nice to respond to those on the episode themselves, to actually, you know, make that a whole separate section. I've got some ideas of how to do that as well. Really excited, really hope that that's something we can do into this new year. You can find me, ChristopherJohn95, on Instagram. I think it's the same thing, ChristopherJohn on Blue Sky as well. Socials is not my forte. You're probably not here for that sort of thing. You can find Reese right here on this podcast. And that's all. Bye.